Imagine, a regular lively podcast featuring discussions with the foremost explorers at the intersection of technology and the academic humanities to explore questions around tools, methods, and values. It's not what you're thinking. It's the Price Lab podcast, a production of the Price Lab for the Digital Humanities at the University of Pennsylvania.
Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, game and object design, and ethics. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're talking with Julie Napolin, who helped create the Price Lab podcast, and by Sarah Milinski, the Price Lab program manager and podcast producer. Price Lab podcast is a series focused on the people who are building, using, and critiquing the digital tools and techniques that are transforming the humanities in the 21st century.
Thank you both so much for taking time out of your busy schedules today to talk with us. I just sort of wanted to start by talking a little bit about what Price Lab is and why Price Lab decided to start a podcast.
The Price Lab is part of the School of Arts and Sciences at the University of Pennsylvania's Strategic Initiative for Humanities in the Digital Age. So what that means effectively is that the Price Lab supports innovative uses of technology in the study of history, art, and culture. So we're working directly both with scholars at the university as well as students and classes promoting the concept of digital humanities, which is really an umbrella term for any kind of humanities that wants to engage digital technology in the practice and research or to think critically about digital humanities.
Sarah, just out of curiosity, why is the Price Lab called Price Lab? It's not because we're playing Name That Price.
No, it's not actually. So we were established in 2015 with a very generous gift from Michael and Vicky Price, which is where we got our name.
So did you start the podcast right when the Price Lab was established?
No, we didn't actually.
It seems to me that the podcast coincided with my time at the Price Lab. And I think because there was a gathering of people and a gathering of energies in the Price Lab in that moment of people who were really interested in sound. And we had one scholar who was working in the history of machine listening. And we had another scholar who was interested in poetics and sound. At Penn, there's also Penn Sound. But, you know, there was just this matrix of sound stuff happening. And then Sarah has this background in documentary, and I wanted to teach my podcasting class. So there was this kind of gathering of forces around documentary, podcasting, oral history, sound, and then all these people were there, and it was like, hey, let's do something.
It sounds like you have a lot of things going on there because you can have student involvement and you have staff and faculty involvement and all this. Is this also part of an outreach evangelizing or educating the larger world on the concept of the digital humanities?
There's two parts to this that I feel I can speak to. One is that we have a weekly or a bi-weekly seminar where we have research fellows who join us as part of the Price Lab, and we also have outside guest speakers who come and speak at this research seminar, and it's lovely. You know, it's like a really lovely gathering of minds, and it's something that we usually organize around a loose topic. However, one thing that Stuart Varner, the managing director, Jim English, the director of Price Lab, and myself, we've talked about in the past is that it can feel a bit insular and it's not readily accessible to folks outside of Penn. So a lot of people can't just drop what they're doing and come to like a midday lunch seminar on Monday at Penn. So one of the reasons for the podcast is we were hoping to make humanities research more accessible, that it would be available to people beyond Penn and available to people who can't join us at that very specific time and place. And I guess in regards to sharing information about the humanities, it's really kind of about sharing what the Price Lab's vision of digital humanities is. You know, we want to kind of say DH digital humanities really can be defined many different ways. It's a very big umbrella, but we did want to make clear how we define it, in so much as foregrounding scholars and projects who promote underrepresented voices and people who bring a really critical framework to the DH sphere.
So, Julie, you're more the academic side of it, and Sarah, you're more the practical side of it. Am I understanding that correctly?
Julie is an academic, yes, and she is an expert in her field. So yeah, I think that's fair to say. I am a program manager, so I work really mostly in admin, and this is sort of like a passion project that, as Julie mentioned, it was this really special confluence of people and ideas and kind of desires that came together, and that really dovetailed perfectly with our desire to share what was happening at the seminar with a wider audience. And I think Julie, not only as an academic, not only as a fellow in our seminar, she also really mentored both myself and some other students who ended up working on the podcast as well. So I feel like it was a really lovely way to kind of ease into the medium, if you will.
Yeah, I'm an academic, but I have a background in radio that's kind of been dormant, except for in my teaching. So I would still call it radio, but I hadn't made any radio in a number of years outside of my own teaching. So this was a really exciting opportunity for me to get back into the practical dimension of it.
One of the things about the audio format is that people that might not be comfortable being videotaped or whatever are okay with just their voices going out, just from a comfort level or from being self-conscious.
And just as a quick note to that, we have speakers who come by and who have joined us for the podcast. And sometimes it's a lot easier of a sell to say like, hey, talk to someone for 30 minutes and we're going to release a short podcast episode versus prepare an academic speech and come speak at Penn.
To an audience of your peers or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, to an audience, exactly. I think it's a little bit of an easier sell sometimes to ask people to just sit down for an audio interview.
I'm curious, you started this a few years ago because you sort of had this convergence of capacity and passion and a motivation to sort of replicate these great conversations that you were having in a live arena. But you've persisted. So do you all feel like you've been hitting all your goals of putting these conversations out there and framing DH in this context of access and intersectionality?
I think yes and no. I will say that I didn't come from an audio production background, and I find myself continuously being humbled by what an undertaking it is to make a good podcast that really reflects the quality of what the speakers are bringing to the situation. Whether or not we've hit all of our goals, I am tempted to say probably not, but it's a learning process in making it. I feel like we're constantly learning and we're kind of figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And it's an understatement to say that COVID was disruptive, right? It's been a completely paradigm shifting scenario. And that touched this as well. I really liked the audio booth we used to meet in the library. And it was really great to just record and have everything set up. And now we're doing things very much at a distance. And, you know, it's been odd because I'm not even usually present for a lot of these recordings. They happen away. And so I'm coming in at a very different step along the process now. So it's been full of bumps and problems to be solved, but it's also been really fun. And I think what we're learning is that it's sustainable to do at a certain scale and that we have no shortage of interesting people that we want to ask to join us. People have been very generous with their time in terms of agreeing to do it.
I was really surprised when I looked at the SoundCloud page for the podcast to see that some of these episodes were getting way more plays than I had imagined. For example, the interview I did with Wendy Chun, who's a historian and theorist of software, especially surrounding issues of race. I remember thinking, wow, how do people find this? Why are they listening to it? I mean, I know why they're listening to it, or I hope they do, because it's interesting. But I was excited to see that it was reaching more people than I had thought. The other thing I would add is that Sarah just mentioned a moment ago the interruption of COVID. And at the time, I was teaching my podcasting class through the Price Lab, and that was interrupted. The students were going to do oral histories with people in Philadelphia who they had found. And then the projects had to go deeply inward. And some of them ended up doing things like radio diaries or just talking to intimate friends. One student ended up interviewing his father because they were living together and that's who he could be around. But the thing that was really cut off too was the Price Lab's summer camp, essentially, which is the Dream Lab, where people get a kind of crash course in digital humanities. And Sarah and a bunch of my students brought the Dream Lab that had been canceled to a podcasting format. And that was really amazing that they managed to do that.
What's Dream Lab? I saw on the podcast page there was like older entries that said Dream Lab, but that sounds like it's a specific concept for you.
Yeah, I think Julie summed it up really well in terms of saying that it's sort of a summer camp-like experience. It's a training camp where people who are scholars in digital humanities or people who work in adjacent fields or are interested in learning and exploring more and gathering some new tool sets or skills, I should say, come to Dream Lab. And it's a week-long institute held at the University of Pennsylvania. DREAM is an acronym. It stands for Digital Resources and Methods. So the RE of DREAMS is from the resources. We're really trying to make that work.
Well, Dram Lab, everybody would want to come up and start drinking.
Yeah, I think once you're in academia for more than a couple months, you realize that there is a true preponderance for acronyms. But Dream Lab is great, and it's just a really fun experience. And we were really sad when the university decided to put that on pause. It's a little bit of a bummer, but we have all these folks lined up who wanted to teach. They know what they were going to talk about. We pitched the idea to them, and they were like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So in a very quick succession, we recorded and edited several episodes. And like Julie said, I had the great pleasure of working with her students, and they were just fantastic and did really excellent audio work. It was somewhat collaborative. You know, I helped them cut a bit, but mostly that was work that the students were taking on. And it made a situation that was stressful and sad really fun, to kind of be able to come together and work with these brilliant students to produce something kind of cool that we could share with a wider audience. Some of the courses are like Afrofuturism, and they talk about community archives and text analysis. There's just so many different things that get covered at Dream Lab, so it was really fun to do a little mini series about it.
For us, we were recording in person at the KUNM Fancy Recording Studios prior to the pandemic. So now the pandemic hits, and so we had to pivot in a technological way, figure out a way to do distance recording. But ironically, it was something that we wanted to do anyway, because we had guests that we wanted to talk to that were so far away geographically that there would be no way to record them in person. And because we were forced to figure out ways to do this virtually, one of the silver linings has been it's really broadened who we can talk to in a way that's relatively easy. Have you all seen that a little bit, or do you mostly focus on people who are more directly in the UPenn academic ecosphere, as it were?
Yeah, I think there has been some truth to that. We recently featured Thomas Padilla, the Director of Information Systems and Technology Strategy at the Center for Research Libraries, joined us. He was able to have a really interesting conversation with Dr. Jennifer Garcon, who works at the Penn Libraries. And that happened at a distance. We're really grateful that that conversation could take place between those two scholars. One thing I'll say briefly is that while Stuart Varner, the managing director, does do a lot of the interviews, we also try to curate the podcast a bit so that we're teaming people up. Our fellows from the research seminar will often talk to the guests or different scholars who we want to have in. So it's a bit of a matchmaking process to see who might want to discuss these concepts together. And just as a note too, Julie, I don't remember, when was the official end of your fellowship date with Price?
April 2020.
Yeah, so Julie teaches at the new schools.
It ended abruptly with COVID. You know, we didn't come back from spring break, and my fellowship was supposed to continue on into the summer, and I was really excited to do Dream Lab again, and I finished out the rest remotely. I still get sad when I think about it.
But this is to say, even though the technical fellowship date was over in April because of COVID, Julie worked with us throughout the summer on the Dream Lab podcast. Julie is a professor at the New School now, and her fellowship is no longer ongoing with the Price Lab. So while she was with us, she helped birth the podcast and get it going with us very generously.
Well, it's really fun to talk with fellow podcasters about digital humanities podcasting. We'll look forward to continuing this conversation.
And if you would like more information about the Price Lab podcast, you can visit pricelab.sas.upenn.edu/podcast. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.